Hey, as we mentioned yesterday, the Heilige Rebbe has three different pieces on Parshas HaChodesh, in addition to a piece on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is his father's Yartzeit, which is this coming Shabbos, Haba Aleinu Letova. You'll see that he references his father's Torah several times in our piece, and he references the meaning behind the Yartzeit, what happens on a Yartzeit. Okay, we're on page Kuf Mem, Parshas HaChodesh, from the year Tuf Shin Aleph, 1941. Again, I believe that year, it coincided with his father's Yartzeit. I believe it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, so we begin. HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashanah. This month is for you, the first of months. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashanah. Dabru HaKol Adas Yisrael Lemur Ba'asur LaChodesh Hazel, on the 10th of this month, V'yichul Ham Ish Sel Lebeis Avos Sel Labayis. Okay, so yesterday we spoke about the relationship between this opening pasuk of Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Zalachem, and the Karban Pesach. And yesterday we learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us mitzvos, gadol mitzvah va'osa, misha inu mitzvah va'osa, we're able to bring something bigger than ourselves down into this world. Here the Rebbe wants to know, HaChodesh Zalachem, this month is for you. What does that mean? The Rebbe's not going to get back to that until the very last two lines of the piece. But what is the emphasis of the word lachem? Question one. And furthermore, if in fact this is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month is for you, so what exactly is the relationship between that and introducing us to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? Uma inyan HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem lebe'asor lachodesh vayikhu. What does this month being for you have to do with, why is it immediately followed up by Hashem telling us to start preparing the Karban Pesach on the 10th of the month? Tie it to your bedpost. Get yourselves ready. What does the fact that this month is for you have to do with the need for Karban Pesach? V'chein Rashi Zal Omar, Omar Hayir Rav Masi ben Charash. Masi ben Charash, one of the great Tanaim, said, Harehu Omer ve'evor alayich ve'ereich v'hinei iteich es dodim. Hashem says, I passed by and I saw that it was the time for our love. It was the season of our love. Higia shvua shenishbati la'avraham shagael esbanov v'lo hayu biyadam mitzvos l'sasek behem kedei shigalu. Hashem says, you know, I've realized that the time has come to take you out, to redeem you, but I've also noticed that you don't have any mitzvos in your hands that make you worthy of geula. As the Navi continues there in that pasuk in Yecheskel, or sorry, the next pasuk rather, no, it's not true either. The pasuk before in Yechezkel, "Va'at Eirom ve'Erya," you were naked and bare. So Hashem says, the time to redeem you has come. The time of our love has sprouted, but you're naked and bare. I need to give you mitzvos to make you worthy of geula. And therefore, says Rashi in explaining these pasukim in Yechezkel, "V'nasan lahem shtei mitzvos." Hashem therefore gave us two mitzvos on the way out of Mitzrayim: dam Pesach and dam Mila, the blood of the Karban Pesach and the blood of Bris Mila. Shemalu ba'oso halayla, shenemar misposesis b'damayich b'shnei damim. I saw you wallowing in your blood. I realized you were naked and bare. And I realized the time of our love had come. That's putting those three psukim in Yecheskel in order. Right? Rashi is presenting them to us backwards. Right? Hashem realized the time of love has arrived. Hashem saw that we're naked and bare. And therefore Hashem gave us two mitzvos and we were wallowing in blood. Right, va'omer lach b'damayich hayi, va'omer lach b'damayich hayi, like we say at a bris mila, misposeses b'damayich. Right, we were covered in blood. The blood of the Karban Pesach, the blood of mila, and of course blood represents life, represents sealing that covenant, that bond with Hashem. Okay. V'navin, we need to understand. V'halo kvar sha'ol Moshe Rabbeinu mi anochi ki eleich al paro, v'chiyotzias b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Yitzrayim. Pirush Rashi, Shesha'al be'ezes chus. Moshe already spoke to Hashem about this question. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says, you know what, it's time to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. I really want to take them out, but they need some type of worthiness to be taken out. So you know what, I'll give them two mitzvos. I'll give them dam Pesach, and I'll give them dam Mila. So says our Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh, whoa, hold on a second. When Moshe first spoke to Hashem in Shmos Perek Gimel, and Hashem was saying, go take B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe said, well, in what merit am I taking them out? Hashem's response wasn't, oh, dam Pesach and dam Mila. What was Hashem's response when Moshe said, in what schus should I take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim? Rashi back there in Shmos Parag Gimel explains, V'heishiv lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebizchus HaTorah Shehasidim L'Kabel. When they leave Mitzrayim, then they're going to come to Har Sinai. Then they're going to get Kol HaTorah Kula. And I'm taking them out now. Like we learned yesterday, Yeshua's bo makifos, right? Makif means alone. Hashem's giving us alone. Hashem's saying, when they get to Har Sinai, we'll work it out. You're right, they don't have any zchuyos, but the Torah that they're going to be makabel allows them to be redeemed right now. So therefore, asks our Rebbe another question. Im kein, lama hutzruchu ata l'shtei mitzvos? So our Rebbe says, if you're reading the Rashi's carefully, so then it begs the question. Rashi, already in Shmos Parag Gimel, told us when Moshe asked the question, in what merit are we going to be taken out of Mitzrayim, Chevra, what was the answer? In the merit of Kabbalah Satorah. And yet over here in Shmos Parag Yud Beis, HaChodesh is Alachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to figure out, the time to take them out has come. In what merit can I get Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? They don't have any mitzvos. Well, we already answered that question. They're being taken out based on what they're going to do when they receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And yet here, Rashi says, quoting the Tanner of Masya ben Charash, no, that's not enough. We need mitzvos right now. So Hashem gave us two mitzvos right now. Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. So what do we need those mitzvos for? What changed? Everyone understands the questions? So question number one, what is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Why the emphasis on Lachem? This month is for you, and what way is it for you? Number two, how does that reality of this month being Lachem lead into the need to introduce Karban Pesach right away? And then thirdly, what was the merit that got Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? Was it the schus of Kabbalah Satorah, Sha'asidim Lekabel? Or was it the schus of those two mitzvos that they did right here, right now, on the way out of Mitzrayim, Dam Pesach and Dam Milah? Okay, those are the questions. So our Rebbe quotes from his father in the Sefer Imre Elimelech. And again, his father's yahrzeit is the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Amnam Isa B'Sefer HaKadosh Imre Elimelech. What else is Rosh Chodesh Nisan? What else is Rosh Chodesh Nisan? What else is Rosh Chodesh? I told you, it's the Rebbe's father's yahrzeit. So I'm looking for something more in that genre. It's Rabbi Nachman's birthday. Rabbi Nachman of Bessel was born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, good. So it says in the Sefer HaKadosh Imre Elimelech. So you should have a birthday cake this Shabbos. L'chavad Rabbeinu, Rabbi Nachman. Okay, so in the Sefer Imre Elimelech, on the Pasuk Mat, Titzak Eli, Dabre El Bnei Yisrael, Vayisau. When Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you screaming out to me? Why are you calling out to me? Just keep marching ahead. You'll walk right through the water. It'll split. It'll take care of itself. Kriyas Yamsuf, Mat Titzak Eli, don't call out to me. Dabre El Bnei Yisrael, Vayisau. Tell Bnei Yisrael to travel on. So my Holy Father explains, says the Eish Kodesh. Dahabore Baruch Hu, Chaver, listen, look at these words. Dahabore Baruch Hu Chas Yoser Al Kavod Yisrael Mikvodo Yisbarach Shema. Okay, that's a good one. You can underline that one. That Hashem is more concerned with the honor of the Jewish people than He is with His own honor. Dal Kavod Amo B'nei Yisrael Eino Mochel. Hashem is now Mochel on our Kavod. Hashem defends the honor of the Jewish people. Every bit of our oppression, our suffering, the anti-Semitism that we face, you should know that it's all going to be answered for. Every bit of it is going to be answered for. Hashem is going to avenge, like we say in the Av HaRachmim on Shabbos, right? That Hashem is going to avenge all of the spilled blood of Jewish history. Hashem is not mochel on our kavod. Right? A parent could sometimes say, you know, I forgive you for what you did to me, but I'll never forgive you what you did to my child. Hashem can't be mochel on our kavod. So therefore, Lufi Shemo Shirabinu Hayim Mispal, Lefon of Yisbarach Shemo, Bishvil Kvod Shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is kind of living trapped between the worlds. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's most concerned with the honor of Hashem. And at the same time, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're going to see, is learning from Hashem, stop worrying about me, focus on Klal Yisrael. I don't care what's best for me, I only care what's best for the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Hashem, what's going to be Kvod Shemayim? What are the people going to say if the Jewish people don't emerge from Egypt, what's going to be? If the Jewish people die in the wilderness, what's going to be? Moshe Rabbeinu is very worried about Hashem's reputation. And regarding that, my father explained, Ma titzak elai. How is the Imre Elimelech learning those words, Ma titzak elai? It's not why are you calling out to me, why are you davening to me, just keep traveling. That's the push-up shot of the pasuk. Right, stop davening and get moving. But Ma titzak elai, stop crying over me. Stop worrying so much about me, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm good. Hashem's like, I got this. I can take care of myself. Yeah, but Hashem, what's going to be with your reputation? The Egyptians are going to say, shh, Moshe, stop. Ma titzak elai, stop worrying about me. Ratzon olomar. Delama tzakoscha elai bishvili. Stop worrying about me. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Talk to the Jews. They need the chizuk. V'yiso, teach them how to go weiter. Teach them how to keep moving. Ratzon olomar she yosar ani chas bishvil kabod ami b'nei Yisrael. I'm much more concerned with the well-being of the Jewish people than I am with my own reputation. And for that reason alone, you should know with certainty, Ubavadai Oshia Osam Bikol Tsaroseyam. And therefore, stop worrying, Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael is going to be fine. I care about them much more than I care about myself, Hashem says, Kiviyach. It's an unbelievable idea. So don't focus on me, focus on Bnei Yisrael. And we're going to see through this piece, right, that this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu learned to appreciate over time. The Efshar, bottom paragraph. Shegam zehu inyan shemichael makriv nishmosein shal Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'mizbeach shal mala. We learned about this the other week. Have you remember when we spoke about the Trumas Hadeshen? I shared with you the Tosfos in Menachos, the very last daf of Menachos, daf Kofiyot, that the Malach Michael in Shemayim is bringing Karbanos. Right? They have Karbanos up there, but they don't have Trumas Hadeshen. They can't take out the garbage. So this is perhaps, says our Rebbe, this is perhaps the idea that the Malach Michael brings karbanos. He's makriv nishmosein shal Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He offers the souls of the Jewish people before Hashem on his mizbeach in Shemayim, the mizbeach shal Mal. So says our Rebbe, why Michael? Who is the Malach Michael? The Malach Michael is the defender of the Jewish people. The Malach Michael is like the Berdichever. His whole mission is to what? Is to be Malam Yitzchus on Klal Yisrael, to always say good about Jews. So why is the Malach Michael bringing Jewish souls, whatever that means, on his Mizbeach and Shemayim, offering them as karbanos to Hashem? It says the Rebbe on the top of the next page. V'lama dafka Michael hu ha-makriv. Why is the Malach Michael the one who's running the Mizbeach, offering these karbanos? How does it fit with the personality of Michael as the Sanegur, as the defending Malach, as the defendant of the Jewish people? So the Rebbe explains about Michael hu ha-melitz yosher li Yisrael. Michael is the one who is a melitz yosher. He always tries to say good about the Jewish people. He always tries to defend the Jewish people. He argues, he petitions on our behalf. Kamo shekasev b'Daniel, like it says in Sefer Daniel. That's the nature of the Malach Michael. So he serves as a Melech Yosher when he takes those neshamos in Shemayim and he puts them on his Mizbeach, whatever that means, and he offers them up to Hashem. He's using that as a way of petitioning on our behalf. What does that mean? Ribono Sha'olam. He says, Hashem, im es yisurecha atasovel v'al kvodcha hamechulal atamarech af, Master of the Universe. If your own pain, in quotations, you're willing to bear. If your own honor that's been disgraced, you're willing to be ma'arich af, you're willing to what? To be patient, to not anger. Aval es yisurei banecha, eich ata sovel kol kach. Ve'eich ata ma'arich af, al kavod Yisrael ha'mechulo kol kach. Hashem says, look, your children are being sacrificed. Every time the Malach Michael takes a neshama and puts it on his Mizbeach, he's reminding, in quotes Hashem, that look, the Jewish people are being made into sacrifices. Look how the Jewish people are suffering. How do you bear that? How do you remain so patient? Why are you giving Mitzrayim more and more and more time to beat up the Jewish people? It's been 210 years. It's time to get them out of here. What are you waiting for? Hashem, you're impatient. We get it. You're very patient. You've waited a long time before you created the world that you finally decided was good enough. And you wait another 2,500 years to give us the Torah, and we've been waiting 2,000 years now for the third Beis HaMikdash. So from Hashem's perspective, it's not a long time. and you're willing to. What about the people who are atheists who say you don't even exist? Hashem says, I'm not worried about my kavod. Fine. And what about us? What about the suffering of the Jewish people? How are you sovel that? Hello, al kvod banecha yoser atachas. The Malach Michal is reminding Hashem the honor of your children, right? More than you're worried about yourself, you're concerned. So how do you allow this to go on? That's a very powerful thing. It's a holy chutzpah. Malach Michal is always fighting with Hashem, saying, enough galus already. Right? Enough Holocaust already. Enough suffering already. Enough people going off the derech already. How many people need to intermarry before you go save your children, Hashem? How many Jews have to suffer? So the Malach Michal is the one who's always arguing, defending, right? Arguing on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. And this is part of what Hashem is teaching Moshe. It's a complex sugya, because if it's true, so why do we suffer? Why didn't Hashem save the Piazessner? This is already 1941. What we read yesterday is piece from 1940. So a year has gone by. So the Piazessner Rebbe is asking Hashem, I don't understand. I thought you care about us more than you care. My father wrote in his Sefer, Matitzak Alai, that you Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, stop, don't worry about me, worry about Klal Yisrael. So hi, I'm here to tell you, worry about Klal Yisrael. The Malach Michal is arguing with Hashem and saying, look, the Jewish people are karbanos. Where are you, Hashem? And that's what it means when Michal would offer the souls of the Jewish people on his little mizbeach in Shemayim, as if to say, Hashem, please have mercy on them. Can you imagine? Let's picture this, says the Rebbe. Let's picture a Jew who died in the Holocaust, who's now being offered again on Michal's mizbeach in Shemayim. That should shake a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's not that Hashem doesn't know these things, but we're empowered to try to communicate our feelings to Hashem. So those neshamos that left this world from a place of tsar and yisur, v'lo elu neshamos v'vad, shekulan yotzos berov oni v'yisurim v'niftro. I'm not only talking, says the Rebbe, those people who actually died completely from hunger, from oppression, from suffering, that they actually died. But the Rebbe says, and this is such a powerful line, this is so true to a person who's going through a difficulty, particularly the loss of a relative. Ragam, and he's reflecting on his own father. Ragam chelke haneshamos shiyatsu mitzaros Yisrael. However, what does he mean by that? What are these chelke haneshamos? These portions of souls. What does it mean, these portions of souls? You know, the Rebbe was a little boy when his father passed away. He didn't really know his father. His father passed away in 1892. The Rebbe was only born 3 years earlier. He was a little child. Right? Even as a kid, though, he always felt a very strong connection to his father. What does he mean by the chelke haneshamos? Yeah, what does he mean?
I don't know if he's saying something like this, but like,
review also. That's right. The fact that I don't have my father. Right? In his humility, he's looking up to his father as his Rebbe. He's saying, the fact that my father's not here, right, a part of me died with him. And anyone who lost a relative during the Holocaust, whether it was a brother or a sister or a spouse or a child or a parent or a grandparent, right, we're also feeling deadened inside. Chelke haneshamos, the part of my soul that left simply from the suffering. We learned once, on a fast day, when a Jew fasts, right? Part of what we're saying is that as I give up some of my flesh and blood by not eating today, so we learned that's called a partial death. I've given up some of myself. So the Rebbe's saying, my suffering, I've lost, right? Claudius, so we've lost part of ourselves, not just the people who actually died, but even those who are still here, we've lost ourselves. We're not functioning the way we once were. Parts of us have died. Makriv LaHashem Lomar Chusna Alein. So that part of yourself that is no longer alive is also on the Malach Michal's Mizbeach, being offered up in front of Hashem, saying, Hashem, look how the Jewish people suffered. For what reason? For being your children, period. That's the only reason they're suffering. That's the source of their suffering, the fact that they want to be Jews. Ki kama koach v'chelke nefesh yoytzis miyitzel gam eilu ha'anoshim sh'odim b'chayim b'olam hazeh. Mitzar and Vitzar Shar Yisrael. How many portions of soul have been lost from those who are still amongst the living because of the suffering and the pain of those who are no longer? Okay, very powerful way to, and it's true. It's very true. I was talking to someone just this week who who lost a very beloved person in their life. And the person says, like, you know, on the one hand, as time goes on, in certain ways things heal, but in other ways it just gets harder. That gaping hole just seems to get bigger. And that's part of the comfort we offer. Hamakom yenachem eschem. We hope that you'll find a way to fill that makom, that space that's been emptied out, that's been lost. It's a very painful thing. So this person is, Baruch Hashem, he's alive, he's well, but he feels this void in his life in such an intense way that he's deadened by it. Right? There's a part of him that's lost, that died with that relative. It's a hard thing to see. And that's what the Malach Michal is trying to remind Hashem. Look how much the Jewish people are suffering. Look how much we've lost. Even those who are still alive have lost themselves. Okay, next paragraph. Umuvan bezeh gam lefi matzaveinu hakatan. Masha Amar Moshe Rabbeinu. So now, the Rebbe is always so sensitive. The Rebbe says, in our, you know, small situation, I mean, compared to Mitzrayim, who are we to compare? I mean, we would think maybe the Rebbe, what do you mean? Maybe your suffering is worse than the Jews in Mitzrayim. But the Rebbe says, to borrow from the Torah to help us understand our little problem that we have going on here. Umeoz basi el paro ledaber bishmecha heira la'amazeh v'hatzel lo hitzalta esamecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says at the very end of Parshas Shemos, from the time that you sent me to speak to Paro in your name, things have just gotten worse, and you haven't saved Bnei Yisrael, right? Paro ups the quota, things are getting worse, Bnei Yisrael themselves are yelling at Moshe and Aaron, what are you doing? Stay out of the way, you're causing trouble. And Moshe complains at the very end of Parshas Shemos to Hashem, and of course, what's Hashem's response? Uma ano oso Hashem? Hashem says, Ata sira, now you're going to see. And then we begin Parshas Ve'era, 7 Makos, Parshas Bo, another 3 Makos, Parshas B'Shalach, Kriyas Yamsuf. Moshe's responded to by Hashem, Moshe, hang tight, Ata, now, Sirah, now you're going to see. You're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro. Shemashva Shadafka Kevin Sha'amar Dvarm Halalu, Yira, B'divrei Rashi Zal Yidum. It sounds, says the Rebbe, it sounds almost like what? That Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, well, now that you said this line, now that you like really complained to me, okay, so now you're going to see. What did Moshe say that was so significant? What did Moshe say to Hashem when Moshe complains and says, you know, from the time you sent me, it's only gotten worse for Klal Yisrael? So the Rebbe explains, Echein emrak lefi ha-pashim. And furthermore, let's actually ask a little bit more of the question first. Right? If this is the moment that Moshe, so to speak, got Hashem to start sending Makos and saving Bnei Yisrael. So according to the Pashup Shat, Moshe speaks disrespectfully and Hashem calls him out on it. Oh, Moshe, you think I don't know what I'm doing? Atasira, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro. And I'm going to take Bnei Yisrael out of its time. It's almost like Hashem's like, Moshe, stop being so questioning. So according to the Pshat, Shechet Hayezel Moshe, that this in fact was a sin of Moshe Rabbeinu by complaining to Hashem, by asking Lama Hari Osa, Hashem, why are you doing bad for the Jews? Imkein eich zocha al yedei zel hezgalus shem havaya yoser mikodem. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe with the name Yudke Vavke, the name of chesed and kindness, more so than before? So you'll tell me, well, Hashem's not doing that to Moshe, Hashem's doing it for Bnei Yisrael. That's not true, says the Rabbi. Vayedaber elokim el Moshe, vayomer elav ani Hashem. It's almost like Moshe did the right thing. It's almost like Moshe earned the right to have greater revelation. By complaining? And if you'll tell me Hashem only is using the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, right, that Elokim is now becoming Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. If you'll tell me that's what's happening, it's only on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, then Imkein Lamaksiv Beis Pamim. So why does it say it two times? It says Vayedaber Aleph Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, and then Beis Lachin Amor LeBnei Yisrael Ani Hashem. So Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm revealing myself in a new way to you. So it's as if it sounds like Moshe did the right thing. Mashma Shavapam HaAleph Gila LeMoshe LeVado. So did Moshe get in trouble for complaining? Was Hashem rebuking Moshe and saying, putting him in his place, saying, oh, you think I don't know what I'm doing? I'm going to show you I know what I'm doing. Or is Hashem saying, oh, Moshe, good. Not only am I now going to reveal myself to Bnei Yisrael, but you tapped into a new revelation of me as well. So what did Moshe do that was so right? So explain to the Rebbe so beautifully. This is part of Moshe understanding that my job is not to defend the honor of Hashem. My job is to defend the honor of Bnei Yisrael. That's what Hashem cares about more. And when Moshe gets that, Hashem says, good, now you get it. Now you know it's important to me. Look at the bottom paragraph. Aval diburei Moshe Rabbeinu, shediber gam leparu asu roshem b'marom. When Moshe spoke in this way, these words of Moshe, the way that he spoke to Paro and the way that he responded afterwards to Hashem, he was shaking the heavens. In what way? The kevan shebereishis diber al Paro, when he first spoke to Paro, sheishlach es Yisrael b'shvil tzarche shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to Paro, he said, listen, I need a favor. On behalf of what? On behalf of the Jewish God. I need you to let these Jews go out, as the Pasuk says, Nizbucha la'Hashem Elokeinu, so that they can offer karbanos. That's not about Bnei Yisrael, that's about Hashem. Moshe says, I need these Jews. God hasn't been able to receive an offering from the Jewish people in a long time. So just let them out for a couple of days so that they can give some gifts to God. Chashav shebishvil zeh Hashem marech apel kol kach. But Moshe is starting to understand that, you know what? Maybe it's because Moshe Rabbeinu was negotiating with Paro on behalf of Hashem's honor that Hashem can be patient. So now Moshe understands, hold on a second. You know why Galus is taking so long? Because Hashem is patient for himself. But if I make this about Bnei Yisrael, I can get these Jews out of here immediately. Turn to the top of the next page. Aval ilu hayim medaber b'shil tzarche Yisrael. But if Moshe stops speaking about let the Jews out because it'll be good for the Jewish God, but when he starts to speak about tzarche Yisrael, shakadosh baruch hu chas yoser alayim, if he talks about what Tzarchei Yisrael, which Hashem cares about even more than his own tzorech, his own needs, so to speak. That will awaken the possibility of what? Of Hashem getting them out of there immediately. So obviously, of course, Hashem knows our pain, and Hashem is always ready to redeem us because of our pain. Mikol makom. Hashem is almost tricking Moshe. Hashem is testing Moshe. He says, go to Paro and tell Paro that what? That I need the Jews to go out of Mitzrayim so that they can offer karbanos to me. And that's what Moshe does at first. He goes to Paro and says, oh, you need to let the Jews go to offer karbanos. And then Moshe comes back. He's like, this isn't working. This is taking too long. And Hashem's like, right, I was kind of just testing you. You're focusing on me. You're missing the point. At first Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he says, you know, exactly what Hashem told him. Yeah, we need to go bring karbanos. But then he realizes, wait a minute, this is not the way to get them out of here. I need to say to Hashem, your Jewish people are suffering, period. So what does he say to Hashem? And this is part of how Hashem is nurturing and developing Moshe's leadership skills. Moshe says to Hashem, look at the words now carefully. Ki me'oz basi el paro lidaber. What's the next word? Bishmecha. From the time I came to Paro to speak in your name, what does that mean? On your behalf. Hainu v'lo litzarchan shel Yisrael. Hey, rela amazeh, v'hitzo lo etzal tesamecha. When I focus on that, when I focus on your honor, Hashem, then hatzel lo etzal tesamecha, then you don't save your people. So now Hashem says, good, Moshe, now you get it. Ata sira, now you're going to see. Now that you're focusing on Bnei Yisrael, now you're going to see fast results. When you focus on the tzar of a Jewish person, automatic results. Now that you've awakened an awareness of the pain, the suffering of the Jewish people, right here, right now, I will not delay my wrath. And you yourself, Moshe, are going to see Yudke Vavke, a manifestation of Hashem's name of mercy and kindness like never before. So that's why it says it twice. It says, Vayadabri Elokim Moshe Vyomer Lev Ani Hashem. And then Dabri El Bnei Yisrael Ani Hashem. Because Moshe, good, now you're focusing on the right things, and I'm going to be kinder to you. I'm going to stop messing with you. I'm going to stop sending you down the wrong path. I've nurtured you into understanding what's most important to me. And now Bnei Yisrael are going to see my kindness as well. And it's going to happen with great immediacy. Right? Because from the time the Makos started, the Jews weren't suffering anymore. It was a process of further and further healing. But from the time Dam began, from the time the Makos began, already the Jews stopped being slaves. They were still in Mitzrayim, but they weren't suffering the way they were suffering. They were being nursed back to health. What?
One for Moshe, one for the Jews.
One for Moshe for saying the right thing. Right? Which again, teaches us that when you defend a fellow Jew who's in pain, when someone else's tsar is your tsar, right? It's not just that you're going to help them. By you caring about them, it awakens Rachmei Shemayim on them, but awakens Rachmanos on you as well. It brings the Chesed Hashem upon you. Okay? So now, let's go back, he says. Nachzor lahanizkor le'el. Let's go back to the words of my Holy Father. Bikvod kidushas Adoni Avi Moiri Harav Hatzadik v'akadosh zechetzad v'kadosh v'racha l'chayel m'haba. It's quite an introduction to his Heavenly Father on his Yartzeit. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ma titzak elai davre el b'nei Yisrael v'yisal. Let's go back to the words of my father in his Sefer Imre Elimelech. Chaver, listen. What did my father explain? Moshe, ma titzak elai, stop crying about me. Don't worry about me, Hashem says. Moshe Rabbeinu hispalel b'shvil kvod shamayim. Moshe was davening for the honor of Hashem. Va'omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She is spiled b'shvil tzarchei Yisrael. Don't worry about me. Focus on the needs of the Jewish people. Ki b'shvil kvodom chas yoser me'al kvodo yizbarach. Because I care more about their honor than my own. Uve emes kach tzarech lios. That's how it needs to be. Hayish ha'yisraeli tzarech lios b'ikir kol mevukasho ba'ad kvod shamayim. V'hu yizbarach ikir etzono hu ba'ad Yisrael. That's a very important line. The way that it's supposed to be is that a Jew has to be worried, has to be focused on the honor of Hashem, and Hashem is focused on the honor of Bnei Yisrael. Yirtz Hashem, you'll all be zochet to get married one day. And a good marriage, a healthy marriage, a good relationship is where, well, we're looking out for each other. I'm not trying to focus on myself. My wife's focusing on herself. I try to think about what does she need. She tries to think about what I need. We look out for each other in that way. That's how it's supposed to be. Hashem is focused on the honor of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are focused on the honor of Hashem. There are many, many examples of this in the Torah. When they go out to fight against Midian, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go out and fight against Midian to be nokeim nikmas Yisrael, to seek the vengeance of the Jewish people. Moshe gathers his army, and what does he say? Let's go fight Midian to what? Seek vengeance on behalf of Hashem. Moshe says, focus on Hashem. Hashem says, let's focus on Bnei Yisrael. There's many, many examples of this throughout the Torah. The most classic one, the most appropriate one for us to talk about right now, is what the Kedushas Levi said about the Yom Tov of Pesach, Habalino Letova. How does the Torah refer to the Yom Tov? Chag HaMatzos. The Holy Berditchever says that Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. What do we call it? What's the Masechta called? Pesachim. We call it Pesach. Pesach in the Torah only means Karban Pesach. It doesn't mean the Yom Tov. And yet we adopted the whole name of the Yom Tov. We call it Pesach. Why? Ask the Berditchever. Why do we call it Pesach? And Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. And it's exactly this line that we just read in the Sefer. I decided right now I want to double underline it. It's one of those lines, you know? Ha'isha Yisraeli tzarech lios be'ikr kol mevukasho ba'ad kvod shamayim. A Jew has to say, Hashem, for me it's about you. And Hashem says, and for me it's about you. So why do we call it Chag HaPesach? Because that's what Hashem did for us. Hashem was Pasach al Batei Avoseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over the Jewish homes as he was striking down the Egyptians. He saw the blood on our doorpost. And he had Rachmanes on us, even though we were on the 49th level of Tumah. So we call the Yom Tov Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over us with kindness. He spared us when the Malach Momus was going around in the night of Makas Bechoros, striking down the Egyptian homes. Hashem had mercy on us, so we call it Pesach. What does Hashem call the holiday? In the Chumash, what does Hashem call it in the Torah? Chag HaMatzos. Why? Because we left in a hurry. We were willing. Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zarua. Like the Navi Yirmiyah says, right? You chased after me in the wilderness. You didn't have proper food. You didn't even wait for your bread to finish baking. You were so eager to come along with me, despite the fact that, you know, you needed more time to pack your bags, to prepare your rations. Right? And yet you trusted me, you grabbed my hand and we ran out together. So Hashem says, I remember the matzah. And we say, we remember the Pesach. That's beautiful. That's called looking out for each other. That the main request of a Jew is Kvod Shemayim. And the main request of Hashem is the Kavod of Yisrael. Such a beautiful idea, yeah.
But then, if our main request is for Kavod of Shemayim, then when Moshe was looking out for Hashem's...
So Moshe sort of is that middleman, right? Moshe is that middleman between us and Hashem. It's very interesting. We even find that Moshe Rabbeinu is called, I'm just thinking of this now, I'm happy you asked the question, Moshe is called in the Torah an Ish Elokim, a godly man. Right? And the Medrash says, the top half of Moshe was godly and the lower half was Ish. Right? God, godly. Right? He went up to the heavens, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, like it says in Parshas Eikev, I didn't eat, I didn't drink for 40 days, I learned Torah, I did this all on your behalf, B'nai Yisrael. Right? He was a person beyond this world, he had a heavenly shine, a glow. So maybe the reason that Moshe was sort of, as Medrash says, he was half a man of this world and half a man beyond this world, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of, you know, in both these worlds. On the one hand, he's defending the honor of Hashem. Hashem is pushing him, don't forget about B'nai Yisrael. Right? So he kind of plays that bridge between Shemayim Va'aretz. Mamish, he's always back and forth between, you know, going up Har Sinai and then coming back down.
He has jobs.
So he has to be concerned for both. But whenever he starts to say to Hashem, you know, what's going to be with your honor? Hashem's like, stop talking about my honor. Talk about B'nai Yisrael. Right? Very interesting. So the Rebbe says, "V'gam zehu inyan hayartzai." Yesterday we learned about a bar mitzvah. Today we learned about a yartzai. What's the inyan of a yartzai? It's his father's yartzai. What's the inyan of a yartzai? Ki a tzaddik kol zman shu ba'olam hazeh. When a tzaddik is in this world, like any good Jew in this world, our job is to focus on what? My job is not to focus on myself. My job is to focus on the honor of Hashem. When a tzaddik is in this world, Yisrael bein Yisraelim, when he's a Jew amongst Jews, kol avodaso tfilosav heim b'shvil kvod shemayim. Tzaddikim are always focused on what? On trying to what? To not make a chil Hashem, to bring kavod to Hashem, kvod shemayim. U'mishin estalik l'marom, but when a tzaddik leaves this world, va'omir u'mishamish b'marom, u'mispalas tfilosav hakadoshos. Now my father's neshama, he says, is no longer in this world. He's in a world above. So now, how does it work above? As kevan shenis ale kvar mi'olam haza, umi Yisrael shebo'olam haza. Now that he's no longer in this world, among the Jews of this world, miniskariv yoser la'Hashem, and he's closer to Hashem, lachain, so now he's on Hashem's team, which means what? Lachain gam bakashasa utfilosav, heim kebakashas Hashem bishvil Yisrael. When the tzaddik's in this world, and you go to the tzaddik, you say, Rebbe, I need help. So the Rebbe says to Hashem, save this Jew for the sake of your name, Hashem. And the Rebbe, his big picture concerns are Kvod Shemayim. But now that the neshama of this holy person is in Shemayim, he can join Hashem's team and be more focused on what? On the needs of people in this world. And that's why on the outset of a tzaddik, we try to call on the merit of that tzaddik to bring what? To bring goodness upon ourselves. Ukenizker la'el tfilos elu yoser polos, as mentioned above, these tfilos, that which a tzaddik can do when he's not here, is more than he could do when he was here. Because when he was here, he was still limited by his physical body. As the Gemara says, gedolim tzaddikim b'misasan yoser mibachayayim, that a tzaddik can do greater things in his death than he can in his lifetime, because now he's just pure neshama. And now he can defend the Jewish people like the Malach Michal, with his mizbeach and shemayim. Upom yoser lashpil yisrael kol tov, he can do more good and bring more kindness upon the Jewish people than he could in his lifetime. Especially on the day of his yartzei. He has the ability on that day, because it's his day, it's that day where he first entered into this new avoda of being on Hashem's team in Shemayim, being concerned for the needs of B'nai Yisrael down below. Concludes the Rebbe, page Kuf Mem Beis. With this we understand the difference between Yoshua and Kalev. Yehoshua went from being Hoshea to Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I daven for you, Yoshua, that Ka, that Yud and Hey, that Hashem should save you from the evil plots of the Meraglim. But Kalev didn't get a name change. Kalev shnishtateach al kivrei avos. Kalev, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Hebron to daven at Maris Machpelah. Lo hayit tzarech l'kol zeh. Kalev didn't need that help. Why? Why did Yeshua need to become Yehoshua to protect him from the evil thoughts and ideas of the spies? And Kalev, who apparently went to Maris Machpelah, to the Kivrei Avos, to Davin, did not. So explains the Rebbe so beautifully. V'hu, two lines from the bottom. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu shaya od b'olam hazeh, hutrach l'isbal ko yoshi'acha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he thinks about what's going to happen with the Meraglim, he davens that Yeshua should not make Achil HaShem, bring Kvod Shemayim, v'shvil tzarche Shemayim, k'dei shelo yifkom b'marom, v'lo yischal al Kvod Yisbarach. So Moshe looks at Yeshua and he says, you're representative of the Jewish people, your job as a tzaddik in this world is to what? Is to defend the honor of Hashem. Masha'en came, last page, Kufim Gimel, Masha'en came Kalev, but Kalev, who was Nishtateach al-Kivrei Avos, who went to Maris Machpelah, who attached himself to what? To tzaddikim who are no longer in this world. Shekvar hayu ba'olam haba, lo hayu tzrichim lespal b'shvil ka bilvad, rak pashut ish Yisrael tzarech liyeshua v'yosha. From Kalev's perspective, from the perspective of the Avos, it wasn't about the honor of Hashem. It's about making sure that Bnei Yisrael have what they need. So Dafka, from a Yeshua perspective, which represents, again, a perspective of a Jew doing his avoda in this world, Moshe says, Yeshua, I give you a bracha, you shouldn't be a chil Hashem. You should bring honor to the Rabbanu Shola. But Kalev, who attached himself to Maris HaMachpelah, from the perspective of the Avos, HaKadoshim, the Imos, who are no longer in this world, it's not about the honor of Hashem. From Hashem's perspective, from those tzaddikim who are no longer in this world, it's all about what? It's all about what's good and what's necessary for Bnei Yisrael. So now concludes the Rebbe so beautifully. Let's go back to our opening questions. V'hine b'chol pam shediber Hashem im Moshe Rabbeinu al devar geulas Yisrael mi'mitzrayim lo amr lo zman. Every time Moshe and Hashem have had multiple conversations about redemption, and Hashem never tells them when it's actually going to happen. Hashem never gives the time. Hashem never says to Moshe exactly when. We're going to begin the process of getting Bnei. They're waiting. Ubetach, gam oz hayu mibnei Yisrael, sh'ala b'machshav tam lemor. There were probably Jews who thought to themselves, hine b'chol pam doma lanu shekvar anu negalim. You keep telling me, any day now. U'mikol makom ha'geula nishmetes. And nonetheless, the geula seems out of grasp. And the Rebbe is probably also, again in his humility, but he's probably talking about himself also. He's saying, I've been giving you these shmuzin for a long time. I've been trying to mechazik you. I've been trying to daven like this. I've been trying to say like that. I've been trying to petition like this. I've tried to complain like that. We've been doing this already for a long time, and there's a lot more to come. So the Rebbe, on Parshas HaChodesh, with the sense of his chadshus, the Rebbe says, again, I'm making assumptions, but I hope it's correct. The Rebbe is saying to the people, he's saying, right, the time for Geula has come again. Yeah. Heard that speech before. You told us that all the time, Rebbe. You told us last Shabbos by Shalosh Shabbos. You told us any minute now. You're always telling us, any minute now. L'chein, kisha'ola b'ritzoni yisbarach shekvar b'zman kavua hazeh yigalim. But now Hashem starts to say, okay, it's Rosh Chodesh, and on the 10th of the month, I want you to take a Karban Pesach. And that Karban Pesach is going to be your ticket to Geula. B'ba'asur l'chodesh v'yikhu lehem. We finally have a date. We finally have a ticket. Our seat is finally booked on the plane. Az omer lehem mitzvah sheim yasu. Pesach u'mila. Let's go back to our question. What was our question? Why did we need the mitzvahs of Pesach and Mila to get out of Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu was already told that in this chus of coming to Har Sinai and getting the Torah, that's going to be a merit to get them out of Mitzrayim. So the Rebbe is saying the answer is, in terms of the general idea that we will eventually get out of Mitzrayim and eventually come to Kabbalah Satorah, that's all from Hashem's perspective. From Hashem's patient perspective, yeah, we'll get out of Mitzrayim at some point, and we'll receive the Torah at some point, and leaving Mitzrayim will give honor to Hashem. Hashem's not in any rush for his own honor, and getting the Torah will give honor to Hashem. Hashem's not in any rush for his own honor. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu has convinced Hashem, so to speak, to get the Jewish people out now, atasira, we got to get out of here. We need to speed things up a little bit. So Hashem says, okay, you want to make it up in ASL, so that means I also need what? The current Zechusim of Bnei Yisrael. I need mitzvos right now then. You want to pay for it right now, so then you got to pay for it right now. So Hashem gave them the mitzvos of Pesach Umila. Mitzchila hayaz chus minat Torah shasidim lakabo. Initially, in some type of general, theoretical, eventual way, it was this chus of Kabbalah Satorah that made them worthy of redemption. V'af shalo kibluah od. Mikol makom, chashav Hashem lahem, l'zchus. Even though they didn't receive the Torah yet. But the possibility of eventually, one day, So that was enough to talk about Geula in general terms. V'ein ze avodas Yisrael. But that's all from Hashem's perspective. V'ata shabohu yizbarach lasas b'shvil kvod v'tzorach Yisrael. But now that we're doing it from the perspective of the Jews, now that it's about, Moshe has learned as a leader, first and foremost, his responsibility is the people, and the Rebbe is probably reminding himself, because the Holocaust was a horrific chil Hashem, to see the Jewish people in such a state, what does that say about the Jewish God? But the Rebbe is reminding himself that a Jewish leader has to be more concerned with Bnei Yisrael than the honor of Hashem. Shal zeh chos yoser, that with this Hashem is more concerned. V'yoser tovei as kvodan, that Hashem is more toveh, is more demanding, has greater expectations of the kavod of the Jewish people, more so than his own. Uvishvil zeh tehei ha-geula tekef umiyad bimba'asor. And now Hashem is going to bring the geula with great speed, immediately, on the 10th. Get your carbon pesach ready. Here we go. This is it, the final stretch. Az hutzrichu gam lemitzos shein yasa. So if it's about me, so then it can be about the Torah that one day I'll give to you at Har Sinai. But if it's about you, so then I'm going to give you a mitzvah right now. Right? I'm going to give you the medicine that you need right now to get you the geula that you need right now. You're going to be misbosesses b'damayich v'omer lach b'damayich chayi v'omer lach b'damayich chayi dam pesach dam mila, and we're out of here. So concludes the Rebbe with our opening question. Chaver, what was our opening question? What was our opening question? A four-word question. V'navin na halashon lachem, right? How did the piece begin? We need to please understand, we need to try to the best of our ability to understand why is it HaKodesh HaZel Lachem? Of course, you all know the answer now. She'aseh Bishvilchem. Hashem says, the secret of the redemption from Mitzrayim is that Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael understood. Hashem made a shift in the way that Moshe thought. Hashem reveals that what? That Yitzias Mitzrayim was not all about, wow, look how great the Jewish God is. But it's the redemption of how great the Jewish people are. HaChodesh Zelachem, this is about you. She'aseh Bishvilchem, it's about you. V'atem ta'asu ha-mitzos. And therefore you need to what? Believe that you can actually do something here. That you can do dam pesach, dam mila. You can earn it. L'chein mi'be'asur la'chodesh u'mizman hazeh ha'kavua tizgal la'gula. Hashem said, I want you to understand. It's not about my honor, it's about your honor. And again, that's what Hashem reminded Moshe once again as they stood by the Yamsuf and things looked quite dreary for the Bnei Yisrael. Moshe has to be reminded, Ma titzak elai, don't cry out about me. That's not the focus. Daber al Bnei Yisrael, lead, speak to Bnei Yisrael. But Yisrael, and teach them how to navigate their way to the Geula Shlema. Okay, so we should be zochet to feel this love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these days. Again, it's this beautiful relationship where Hashem says, Chag HaMatzos, wow, look how the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. They didn't even have food. And we say, Chag HaPesach, look how Hashem spared us. But again, if we look out for Hashem, and Hashem looks out for us, that will make such a beautiful relationship. But we have to know in our heart of hearts, even though our avodah is to be toveya kvodan shel makom, we have to know in our heart of hearts that Hashem's greatest concern, more than his own kavod, more than the honor of Hashem, which is a big deal, which is a really big deal. More than all of that, Hashem cares about our honor, our well-being. Okay? It's a galactic peace. Yes?
Also add my meaning to our tefillah every day.
What's here?
Because we daven on behalf of the ASL every day. And like Dafka, it's not about just doing it for like as us as a call.
Right.
So, one can say that when we're done with that, we're putting ourselves closer to Hashem, and we're putting ourselves on that same level, because that's where that davening happens.
Interesting. Very interesting. We're seeing, right, our tefillah has become from Hashem's perspective when we focus on others. And then again, just like Moshe Rabbeinu got a personal revelation of Hashem, right? Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Hashem, that Moshe was zochet to personal revelation because of his concern for Bnei Yisrael. So maybe that's right. Maybe that's the idea behind that Gemara, that anyone who needs something, right, and his friend also needs something, and he davens for his friend first, so he'll be answered first. So part of the idea, David's saying it in a beautiful way, that you're entering into Hashem's perspective, which is drawing you closer to Hashem. By seeing the need of someone else, you're seeing it from Hashem's perspective, which means you're standing in Shemayim, you're standing closer to Hashem. It's a very nice way to say it. It's a beautiful idea.